Yeah, I think it'd be very helpful.
All right. We're looking in 1 Corinthians, and we're actually on lesson number 8. This is going to be the one on Christians and lawsuits. And I think this, again, is some very practical stuff that we want to be looking at. Christians and lawsuits. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let me read through the 11 verses. And then we will look at our study. Paul writes, "If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly to judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother goes to law against another, and this in front of unbelievers. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. And do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of our God." That's what we're going to be digging into the next, this week and a couple weeks. So dig into it, okay? Now, here's our introduction. We are living in a time in which our society is constantly demanding its rights. We demand the right to free speech, the right to privacy, the right to pursue happiness, the right to bear arms. A woman has the right to her own body, and on and on and on it goes that list. But on what authority are these rights anchored? Well, the appeal for rights centers on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights of the United States of America. But on what are these documents based? Sadly, many people come to the conclusion that they have the right to do as they please. The attitude has also indeed, this attitude has also indeed affected the church. When church leaders seek to discipline a fellow confessing member of their church because of consistent immorality, all too often the arrogant response is, "You have no right to judge me. I have my rights." Then the next course of action involves a lawsuit brought against the church for slander or some other charge. But these arguments of personal rights and "you have no right to judge" are empty ones. You see, we Christians no longer belong to ourselves. Our rights have been given to Jesus Christ, who bought us with his blood. As we will focus on more in depth in our next lesson, we belong to the Lord. Now, with that reality, we recognize that our Lord has not called us to sit in judgment, but he has called us to hold each other accountable. We are to condemn those practices that God's word has unequivocally called sin when it is habitually practiced. There must be discipline within the family of God. This further means that as Christians, we have been given the mind of Christ. Now, in the 6th chapter, Paul looks at another issue in which Christians are to judge. The word judge comes from a Greek word that simply means to discern. In the case of church discipline, the word carries a legal connotation and suggests passing a judgment as on a criminal. In the problem lies in chapter 6. It needs to be emphasized that here judgment requires an evaluation with a view to settling a matter in dispute, as in a civil court. The Corinthians were taking each other to civil law courts to settle their disputes and differences. In Paul's response to this unhealthy practice, Paul reminds them to follow three key principles. And what I try to do in this study is highlight what I believe are three key principles. First of all, they need to put the problems into perspective. And secondly, they need to practice their position patiently. What is your position in Christ? What does it mean to be a Christian? And then finally, you need to pattern pursuit after purity. So let's kind of dig in here and see what we come up with. And again, you know, we're keeping in mind that this is a letter to the Californians, okay? Because this really hits us right where we are. And hopefully we can learn some practical things from a biblical perspective. This to me, I think, is really important. So first of all, let's just kind of dig into this thing here. My first question was this. From this lesson now, how did believers in Corinth handle their disputes? What do you find here? How do they handle it? What are they doing?
Take each other to court.
You got a problem, you don't like what's going on, or you got to disagree with your brother, or something going on in business, whatever, drag him to court. Now remember, they're dealing with each other here. Paul isn't talking about issues, say, outside of the church, but here are Christians, you know, together within the church body, and they have a difference, and right away they would take these things to court. When you read this, let me read the next question. Paul's concern was not that believers might get an unfair hearing in the public courts. What do you suppose is his true concern? What's really at the root of his concern? Jeff?
Our testimony.
Okay, explain that. Our testimony.
When we bring our laundry in front of everybody, everyone gets to see what we are having these disputes, and that we're supposed to be setting ourselves apart. We're supposed to be leading people in the right direction to the Lord.
Right.
And people won't want to follow us if they see that, you know, we're just like I understand we're just like everyone else in sin.
Sure.
We're still all sinners, but the reality is that we've been saved.
Right. There's another presence. You know, Christ's presence of the power of his Holy Spirit is here. How do we acknowledge that? Any other thoughts on that? Okay. With me on that? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, it comes down to the witness to the unbelievers of, you know, as the Lord says, forgive as I've forgiven you.
Okay.
In displaying that to, unbelievers... In a court setting, that's not witnessing, right. Forgive as I've forgiven you.
That's right.
That's now, we're following the law.
Okay. The standard, motivation, all those kind of things are different. Go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, it really discredits the message that the church would be presenting. The law court is somewhere that a lot of people would go to see what's going on.
Yes.
And it just broadcasts
the fact
that one believer, I mean, whenever there's a lawsuit, one or both people are wrong. And all the community would be looking saying, good grief.
Yes.
One Christian would do that to another?
Right.
Who wants to be part of that?
There.
You know, if they treat people within their community that way, just imagine how much they're cheating of us.
Okay, that's right.
Stay away from
easy,
them.
Easy, yeah.
Not to be trusted.
That's right.
And by the way, don't trust anything they say either,
that's right.
Including the gospel.
Lots to think about. Fernando?
The Roman let the Jewish priest settle those problems by themselves into to go to them because they can handle the situation better than the Romans.
Okay.
Because it was all on the family.
Right, right.
Paul brings that subject that the Christian too got the right to judge themselves
into
to go to a people that are not Christian.
Right.
They can be.
Right.
They were better prepared to judge it than the other people that were not Christian.
Yeah. Should be better prepared. Yeah. Turn the page. Let's take a look at the next question here. So let's look at this. Then why is it wrong? Why is it wrong for believers to sue one another? What do you think about that, Rich?
Well, if it's, we're to have a mind of Christ and of the Holy Spirit, and we should resolve our differences, you know, within the church.
Okay. So why is it wrong?
Well, just what they're talking about, taking it out, it could set a bad example for the church community in the eyes of non-believers.
Good. Go ahead, James.
Isn't it better for me to suffer insult or injury than to put insult or injury upon someone else as a Christian?
Why?
By which it means...
Why is it better for you to do that? I mean, that would hurt a whole lot more, wouldn't it?
It would hurt me a lot more.
Yes, I'm saying, why would it be better for you to do that?
Because, that's the way.
Who said so? I'm tricking you. I'm pushing you.
Yeah. Deny yourself. And
okay, I mean, what has Christ been teaching us? Go ahead, Darren.
I don't know how you have a lawsuit without being in sinful nature. Hate, anger, fits of rage, frustration. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I don't know many people that take people to court that are living, that are experiencing the fruit. So, so also in the context of on the shoulders of the lawsuit is coveting. It's like I deserve something. I should have something. So there's sin. So it's just flat out sin to covet, to want, to be righteous, to be proud. So all the things that would stem a lawsuit are right out of our sinful nature.
So it has a negative impact on you as the one who's proclaiming that. Andy.
Yeah, I think this situation is very complex. You know, it's not as easy as saying, you know, we're not supposed to sue because we're supposed to love thy neighbor,
right,
love our Christian brothers. But the key here is that we have to hold each other accountable.
Right.
As Christian brothers. So let's say, you know, my friend here, Tom, wronged me in a way that we can't settle it in church.
Right.
But in a way, perhaps a lawsuit can help him and me see what is the right way, so that we can modify his behavior so that he stops that.
Okay.
You know, stops the, you know, whatever, you know, let's say I was abusing my wife.
Okay.
Are you guys supposed to turn a blind eye and say, oh, let's love Andy like a Christian brother?
Yeah.
And let me abuse my wife and eventually I could kill her down the road? You know, as a physician, when I see that, I have to report that.
Okay.
So in a way, I'm doing perhaps a brother a favor by bringing it to light to correct that behavior, if the church is unable to do it within the church itself.
So what you're saying is that the best place to start then would be within the context of a church,
correct,
of a church situation.
Correct. But the lawsuit is not a, you know, completely, you know, standoffish, this is the wrong thing, we do not, you know, go there. Because sometimes, as we all know, within the body of the church, we can't modify all behaviors.
And right.
There's certain things that we, you know, as human beings, we are drawn to sin, drawn to addiction, drawn to, you know, evil, that we can't just ignore and basically, you know, say it's okay.
Okay, why do we then hesitate? I mean, let's face it, I don't see, I know as a pastor, I had just a couple situations where people actually came to me and I got together with some elders and so forth and actually dealt with some issues. Why is it, from your perspective, why is it so difficult to do this, or why do we hesitate to bring, say, matters between Christians to, say, the local church in terms of their officials? Go ahead, Joe.
Based on experience. Years ago when I was really involved in politics, I decided, you know, I've had enough of this. I don't know who my friends are. That's not the way I want to live.
Right.
So I went into ministry, and that's when I really learned about politics.
Now you really want to be sorry? That's what you're telling us?
Where are you going with it?
That's your question. I mean, my point is that, sadly, many Christians have found that they're not going to get a fair hearing among their Christian brothers because of all of the complex loyalties that are going on within the body of Christ.
Lack of trust.
Lack of trust, and just based on experience that they've,
okay,
that they've been wronged, and that maybe there's favoritism towards somebody else.
Okay, that's it. Any other reasons that you might think? Why do we hesitate?
Right. We see last week, you mentioned that Paul said not to judge, and now Paul said to judge. What Paul mean was to judge a positive way, not a negative way. In this situation today in the church, there are some cases that as a pastor try to do your best to counsel to them, but when they require, for example, is insect or some kind of problem like that, that supposed to go to the law, outside the law, yeah, out of your hands,
yeah,
because it's too much. It's a crime.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the difference between,
okay, all right, so, so you really have to have a sense as to what the issue actually is. If it is a criminal type of thing, say child abuse, if there's whatever, but those kind of things you're looking at and you're saying, wait a minute, those kind of things that really the court system takes precedent in that particular matter. And I can understand that, but it is interesting. Now let me tell you a little story here, my own personal experience. Several years ago, probably in the early 80s or whatever it was, but I had the men's Bible study here all even at that particular time. But I had two guys in the men's Bible study, and one guy was a landscaper, and the other guy had moved to our community, built a beautiful brand new home, and he had employed this person to put in his landscaping for his house. And then as time went on, he came to me and he said, love this guy and everything. He says, but he just did not do a good job. He said, the way the sprinklers are going doesn't cover enough territory, and he said it would, and he wanted him to do it all over again. Well, the landscaper said, I did what he asked me to do. And so there was this big, tug of war going on here. And so now I'm in the middle of all this. And I have to say, I kept going back to this chapter 2, verse 15, that God gave us the mind of Christ. That's what it says. You really are in prayer to say, God, give us the wisdom. Well, the way we resolved this whole thing, and I spoke with them, but they pretty well hard-nosed as to, I put in, $10,000 over here, and he's not doing what he was supposed to do, and I'm taking him to court. Unless, we can resolve this thing. And he's saying, hey, listen, I spent it all. I don't know what else to do here, Well, we did as a men's Bible study. I brought it to the men's Bible study. And the guys, the guy said, hey, we will help. And if Al McClain was still here, he could tell you the story because he played a real key role in this whole thing. What a jewel. But anyway, here, we literally took three Saturdays, and we were the landscapers. We went there with Terry, who was the landscaper, and he told us what to do, and we dug up, and we, added more stuff, and, it was an amazing thing, and resolved it. And I'd say, praise the Lord. That really was a neat experience because I had never, gone through anything like that before. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, I had a deal one time. Now, we don't want to get into, like you say, a lawsuit between Christians. What a bit of shame inside that we can't sell it, between us.
Yes.
As Christians, right?
Yes.
But I sold a car to a Christian lady in church one time a long, long time ago. She had the car for a year, and the clutch goes out. And she came back to me. She said, "You sold me a bad car. Because the clutch went out in a year."
Don't sell a car to a friend.
It was all right. We didn't have that much money in them days.
Sure.
Still don't. But that's
sure.
The second point. But anyway, we came to the understanding we'll pay half of it. So we did.
Yeah.
Just to solve the problem.
But see, that's. Again, it's one of those kind of things. If that had been brought to me, I would have said to the lady, "I'm sorry, that's what it is. You have got to examine a vehicle, especially what I've done with old cars. I bought and sold old cars, and hey, listen, old car's an old car.
Yes.
It runs good when you're buying it, and all of a sudden it's in your garage, and then it leaks. You know, I don't know what happened, but then it's the guy's fault. See, but you have to realize that the buyer has to wear. But anyway, but you see what can happen.
So you have to do something.
And what's beautiful about that is, you know, you are willing to say, you know something, it'll cost me something, but the relationship, now notice this something. What's the most important here?
Relationship.
You catch that? The relationships. And this is where we really can get it, because there's a lot of issues of pride and so forth. Go ahead, Jack.
He's pushing us and then coaching us and encouraging us to have more and more of the mind of Christ.
Exactly. It really is. Go ahead.
Rick. About 6-7 years ago, as a contractor, I did a bathroom remodel for this gentleman that was in this church. He was a landscaper.
Okay. Landscaper. Another one.
And I mean, it was an expensive one. He wanted corium shower walls and pan, and he wanted an old tub pulled out, a jacuzzi corner tub put in, we had to cut the concrete slab, reroute everything, all the plumbing, and new cabinets. And I explained to him that, you know, kitchens and baths are the most expensive rooms in the house to remodel. And so got down towards the end of it, he said, and I used to see his trucks all over town at that time. And he got down to the end of it, and he owed me $2,500. And I still had a little bit of work left to do in this house. And he kept crying and moaning, crying the blues and everything. And I started praying about it. And he says, my wife's on my case. This is way too much. And I already gave him a price ahead of time. And so what I wound up doing is, I said, you don't owe me another dollar. I went ahead and finished the job and turned it over to the Lord. Because the Lord said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. In the last 7 years, I think I've seen one of his trucks. About a week ago, I saw it. I think I left turning from it. But I never see his trucks around town anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, I finished, I did my job.
Yeah.
Complete. I didn't leave it hanging. And I just trusted it to the Lord and let the Lord take over.
Now, when you look at a situation like this, now, say, for instance, something happens within the body and so forth. Where do we have to start with each other if we're going to really deal with this in the mind of Christ? Where do we have to start so that we're really on the same plane? Bobby?
I mean, we haven't heard the word pride.
Okay.
I mean, it takes us out of our comfort zone to try and... Like the court system I'm going through with my ex-wife. Right. I don't have to bring it here and exploit it between all these men here.
Sure.
And a lot of men probably couldn't stand up and do that.
Sure.
Because it hurts their...
Sure.
It bothers them to let other people into their personal life.
Right.
But if I go deal with it in court, I don't have to bring everybody else that I deal with in my everyday life. You know, have them having thoughts about me and what I'm doing and how I'm doing it.
Right.
You know, I mean, it really keeps you in check to deal with it within the church first.
Yep. Now, what I did, as you saw the title on this particular section, I said, put your problems into perspective. So I want us to be thinking about, as we approach, you know, issues like this, say, amongst us as brothers in Christ, how then do we keep it in perspective as brothers in Christ?
Dan? I'd just like to suggest another reason why you don't go to the court. If you're really looking for justice, we have a judicial system. We don't often get justice in it. Expert witnesses will say anything for money.
Yes.
So truth doesn't exist there sometimes.
Okay. That's a good point out. Up.
Yeah. It's running in my mind, and I can't tell you where it is, but you probably could. It's better to suffer for doing right.
Yes.
Than it is to suffer for having done wrong.
Right. It's a Proverbs. Yeah. It's very, very true. Now, keep in mind now. Now, where's Go ahead, though. Dick, you want to comment? I got then Howard. Go ahead.
If you're truly brothers of the Lord, I think the first thing to do is be willing to sit down and talk and pray about it.
Okay.
And
all
bring
right.
it to the Lord in prayer, and then ask the simple question, what is it that you really want?
Okay. Very, very good. Now, I really appreciate that, because when you bring something into perspective, that means both of you have got to get to the point where you're saying, who has priority in my life? That's where you have to start. If you're going to bring it into perspective, you've got to realize that if we are Christians, and we're going to look at this again, I'm ahead of myself here, but I'll bring it up anyway. Chapter 6, verse 19-20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Now, that has got to be something that resonates with us. Because otherwise that is a belief system that has no reflection in our behavior. So you've got to come to the point where you say, you know something? I realize now I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I understand what that means. My perspective is, I have denied myself. I have taken up a cross, Christ's cross, not my cross. It's Christ's cross, and I've chosen to follow him. And I realize that when I became Christian, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. So if that is the case, and that's now my belief system, then we've got to be able to say that has to become the behavior as well. So life is not about me. And then you realize if it's Christ now is going to live in me and through me, good grief. You know, I mean, think about this now. What did he do in our behalf when he was mistreated?
He took it.
He took it. He suffered. He was nailed on a cross. I'm saying, well, now, wait a minute. I'm not Jesus. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yes, you are.
You are. It's Christ who now has come to dwell in you. So now, talk about the pride issue. You better believe it. There's a pride issue here. So all I'm saying is, and I believe this is what Paul's approach is, he's basically saying, look, you've got to put these things into perspective. You've got to know, first of all, who you are in Christ Jesus. What does this mean? What does it mean? Because otherwise, all we do is go back, there's a Bible verse for this, and a Bible verse for that, and we jump back into legalism. Am I right? Isn't that what we do? Well, the Bible didn't really mean that when it said this. No. Back up now. What is it really telling us? It's no longer about me. It's about him. Now, with that perspective, then you begin to look at the issues. And you realize, you know, that granted, sometimes, what Rick was sharing with us, sometimes, or what Chuck was saying as well, sometimes you have to be able to look at it and say, you know something, for the sake of Christ, I realize that all these things are really not even mine. I'm his manager. I'm his steward. It belongs to him. Now, you know, and I've confessed, there have been numerous times where I have helped people in the church. They've come to me. And I mean, I had one guy crying in my office because of, I forget what it was again, some insurance thing or something, but and he couldn't make these payments. And I the church didn't have the money. I loaned him. And that's what we said. He actually signed the paper and the whole thing. Never paid me back. You know, never paid me back. And now, you know, I don't mind telling you, there was a time where, you know, I would say, I still see him, but I don't drag it out under his nose. But I literally had to give myself the Lord gave me good talk about it. We had a discussion, the Lord and I. I said, Lord, I know that's your money. Somehow I feel responsible for it, you know. And you really struggle with this deep down inside, because And I realize more and more, you know, because it was an insult to me. I mean, it bugged me, you know. But as time went on, I realized more and more. I think it was a valuable lesson that God taught me.
Give me a little time, and I'll take care of
you. You what?
Give me a little more time, and I'll take
care of you. Harry, thank you. I appreciate that.
What time you done?
Man, I want to talk to you. He's the banker here, Howard.
Is this matter though of a rather narrow application? Because references are always made to disputes between Christians.
That's what this is. Yes.
And are all disputes within this umbrella?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Now, I would say this. To begin with, what does it tell us that when there are issues between two people, Matthew 18 really speaks to us? Okay, let's just take a little review here of Scripture. Now, again, I'm referring to Scripture. Not, I'm trying to get a legalistic point of view, but I am trying to look at it and say, you know something? If Christ dwells in me, I need to let His Word touch my heart as well. So what did Jesus say here then in Matthew 18? So now you have a difference of opinion. So let's take a look here at verse 15, okay, Matthew. If your brother sins against you, okay, now, pretty practical, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. Did you catch that? Now, why is that important first? That's just between the two of you.
Because you can keep it between the two of you.
Right.
And it doesn't go throughout the church.
Right. Don't start blabbing it all over the place. Yes, please.
I think also, too, as you keep it between the two of you, the first thing is here says show him his fault.
Okay.
The way we show our brother Christ's fault is based off of God's word.
Very good.
Not based off of man's opinion.
Very good. Very good. So you go to your brother, now show him his fault. Now, again, we read a lot into that, but how then do you approach your brother? I would say to you, approach your brother as you would want them to approach you. So if you're going to come over there and say, rah, 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 you know, you did this to me, and, you know, and throw insults at him, all this kind of stuff, no. I would say, you know, George, I love you. You're my brother in Christ. And, you know, something happened some time ago where I really was hurt and offended. And, you know, it's created a barrier from my side to you. I need to talk to you about it. And let's find out, you know, what was your intent and so forth. Or you did this and I felt this was unfair or whatever. We need to talk about this. You see what you're doing now. Don't put them on the defensive to begin with. You're basically saying, I'm not quite sure where we are with this thing. You know, clarify. Well, who knows what stuff he dumps back at me, you know, and so forth. Now, let's take that and then take it the next step. You've done this. There's no resolve to the issue. So now you say, what's the next step? Well, if he listens to you, it says you have won your brother over. And he can be saying, you know, I am so sorry. You know, I didn't realize I was in a bad mood myself, you know. And I didn't realize I stuck you with this or I did this or whatever. And my intent was not to hurt you or whatever. But anyway, this is all. Now maybe he said, well, you deserved it, you know. I think, wait a minute, what's going on here? So now it's not resolved. Let me go one step further. Now, if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that matters may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now think about that for a minute. Wow, I'm going to get my buddies. You know, I'm going to take my son Neil along with me. If that doesn't intimidate him, nothing will, you know. See who he's messing with. Now, if that's my intent, I barked up the wrong tree. What should be the intent by taking two or three witnesses along? Gang up on it?
Establish the truth.
Say it. Establish
the truth.
The truth. You don't prep these guys with your anger and your hostility and your prejudice and your pride. You're saying, listen, Virgin, I got a little bit of a problem here. And, you know, I want you to listen to the both of us as we walk through this thing. And you tell, if I'm wrong, you tell me. You see the attitude? If I'm wrong, you tell me. I mean, you guys. But if he's wrong, will you also establish it with him? Derek.
What I was going to say is I think that the order is really important here in regards to this, is because what can the worst way that you can handle this is not to approach the person face-to-face and talk about it behind the back.
Very good.
Because so, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, did you hear that?
Okay, very good. And see, and that's the sad part. That's what a lot of us will do. We got a conflict with somebody, and hey, did you hear about this? Let me tell you. All we're doing is gathering our little cluster. You know, now we get the little club against this person. And that's not right either. Fernando, go ahead. I'm going to get to some of you guys here. Go ahead.
I had a problem my own. I lent somebody $3,000.
You too, huh? Okay. You and I should talk about this, yes.
Same guy.
Same guy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I called the person. I said, when you have the opportunity, you know, to start paying,
yes.
You don't have to give me $3,000. Go little by little.
Yes.
And we settled the problem. He said, he saw me coming. He said, you know what? Let me $3,000 and I pay you all together. And I said, well, if you didn't pay me the first $3,000, how am I going to expect you to pay me $6,000? You forget about it. My wife wanted to call his pastor, but I said, no, forget about it. You know why? Because everything goes against me. Because I get mad. I get disappointed.
Sure.
I don't want that in my life.
Sure.
Forget about it, because money is not everything.
That's right. That's good. I appreciate that. Art.
After your first experience with a Christian, and you go through this, then your attitude would be that maybe I'm not going to deal with a Christian after this.
See, now.
And you go outside because you don't have to go through this.
That's right.
Again.
Now that's a sad scenario, isn't it?
That's one, but true.
And it's
true. In the business world, you're facing it.
See? And that's, boy, I tell you, that, and again, think about this. When you as a Christian are dealing with a non-Christian, and, you know, always remember, he has a perspective as well. I mean, if the guy isn't a shyster, but at least he has a perspective too, that somehow you're a Christian and you're doing this to me, see? And you really have to think that one through and pray it through. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Chuck.
Yeah, you know, also a good idea to go between your brother and talk out. You may be in the wrong.
That's a point. Yeah. Exactly right. And you're willing to hear that.
Yeah.
You're going to talk, yes.
Yeah, on trivial matters, probably between not between two Christians, Jesus actually talked about retaliation in Matthew.
There you go.
Chapter 5, he says in verse 38, you have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well.
Ooh.
So to have the mind of Christ, we have to be in trivial things. Just
now that's heavy.
Defend ourselves.
That's heavy. Okay, Carl and John.
You know, the thought strikes my mind, and I've had a couple of situations with my rental house. I got sued in small claims court, but this wasn't a brother. This is just, you know.
Sure.
And in other things, my business world, where it's not been too good.
Yes.
And it's nice to sit in a nice, calm atmosphere and consider all these things and be very rational about it and reasonable and biblical and everything else. Put yourself in a position of, this is a heated situation.
You got it.
And
emotions
I'm pretty wrought up about it. This isn't angering, and you probably have a lot of justification to feel that way. And that's not I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just trying to say that that is a tough one to fight.
It is.
And you have to apply what he's talking about.
Boy, it's so true.
You have to apply it right down, right, even to the point of you're being the loser in that situation.
Yes. John.
Your center sort of dovetails in one of my professions. I'm a certified arbitrator mediator. And one of the focus and primary objectives is to maintain good relationships. The same you had at the onset of your activity. And I think it's wise that once you find you have a dispute between two people, if you emotions get in, personalities, and leverage, pride, and all the other aspects. So it is helpful to have a third party that is experienced in the relationship of your dispute, and which you can get down to the truth and fairness where no one gains any advantage or in any aspect, monetarily or otherwise. And so I would encourage people to seek out a professional mediator as opposed to lawsuits.
Yeah.
To hear that could be someone that's professional in the business, as I am, or it could be a person that both of you have confidence in,
right,
would hear it from a neutral position.
That's right.
And offer a resolution.
I agree. Go ahead, Jeff.
I actually have my former partner that owes me quite a large sum of money from a separation agreement from when I left the company. And honestly, I've thought about taking him to court many times.
Sure.
But that scripture, rather yourself be defrauded. Now, I could use that money.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Get an arbitrator.
But I choose to, leave it in the hands of the Lord.
Yeah.
It still bothers me.
Yes, I understand. Boy, I understand. Yes.
I was thinking about First Peter, and he says, rather, to share in the suffering,
yes,
of Christ.
I know.
And then humble yourself.
Yeah.
And then God will, give you a crown.
Yeah. It can be a real painful thing. I mean, when you think about it, this is a brother in Christ, it's dealing this way. And that really, that can really be painful. God.
I see everything that we're saying here, and I'm looking at, trying to look at the overall picture of why this is important. And my dad was saying relationship.
Joel,
he was talking politics. Paul was sending a letter to the infant church in Corinth. The infant church in Corinth at that time were having lots of dissensions. And you even take that all the way back to the infant Israel in the desert when Jethro came to Moses. And
right.
What was Moses having to spend his time doing?
Right.
Putting down problems and dissensions,
right,
amongst,
exactly,
believers. All right? And then we had Korah come up.
That's right.
And we had these type of dissensions going on. There's the politics already starting off.
Right.
The politics in the new church. And what are we supposed to be doing as Christians? What was the problem with Israel to begin with? As we look at like Isaiah chapter 5, where he says, I have planted a vineyard. The vineyard,
yeah,
of that kingdom then was to produce fruit.
Right.
And what was that fruit for? What is the fruit for that we're to produce today,
right,
is for the healing of the nations. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
If we can't handle the dissensions amongst ourselves,
right,
how are we going to be producing fruit that is effective for the healing of the nations so salvation can,
right,
come? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 21 to the Pharisees and Sadducees when he gave the parable of the vineyard?
Yes.
I am taking the kingdom away from you,
yes,
and giving it to another who will what? Produce its fruits.
Right.
So why do we need to properly handle this? And like you said earlier, it's for the gospel to be properly presented to the nations,
right,
for salvation.
Very good.
That's why we have to figure out how to handle this inside.
You got it. That's what we're saying here. Derek?
Ironically, about 2 years ago, I was hit with a class action lawsuit with my company, and it was substantial. And my attorney and my CPA said, "You're not going to survive this. You're not going to get through this."
Yeah.
And the lawsuit itself, I had all these secular people telling me what to do and how to handle it, and the lawsuit itself and the way I handled it have my relationship is the thing that actually brought me to God. To have to, I mean, really brought me. I've been a Christian since I was 16, but that was the first, when I finally had to come to grips with, I'm probably going to lose everything I've built over the last 20 years. And then to really realize it's not mine anyway.
Yes.
It's not mine.
Yes.
It's not mine to hold on to. God is going to provide for me, and I let it go.
Yes.
And my attorneys were saying, you need to declare bankruptcy, exactly. We need to strategize. And I said, no, let's go into mediation. And I'm just going, even though I don't feel... I'm being set up. It was an attorney. It wasn't even my employees that were suing me. It was an attorney that had put this thing together and was going to take my company down. Anyway, the whole point of how I handled it, which is take, you know, really was...
Give it back to the Lord.
Just take what you think. You know, I'm willing to negotiate, but I took my hands off. And anyway, it got resolved. It got handled and it got taken care of and we got through it. And the company's in better shape than it's ever been right now. But the point was, is it was not even about me and my brother. It was about me and God.
Okay, very good.
You know, so it's not about how you're dealing very with a lawsuit for, with
very
your brother.
Good.
It's how is this impacting your
that's
relationship
right.
with God?
Very
good. Dependency on Christ.
Yes, exactly. Very good. I'm going to enjoy it, and then we're going to have to quit, okay? I loved it. Save some of your questions for next week, because we'll...
Let's notice, too, that what Paul is... Throughout this passage, he's throwing out a lot of rhetorical questions.
Okay.
And it's easy for us to want to jump the gun and try to turn it into a rule
right.
or a principle.
Right.
When really he's just trying to get us to think really deeply about what is the basis of our belief system that results in the way
exactly
we deal with
right.
each other. And
exactly right.
The key thing about that you got to understand about the law is that the law can only act to enforce certain kinds of obligations. There are obligations that can be extracted from you by force.
Yes.
And those are properly known as perfect obligations. There's
right.
a transaction, and we can enforce the terms of that transaction, enforce the terms of the contract.
Right.
But there are other obligations that are properly known as imperfect obligations.
That's right.
Obligations that we are obligated by God, but no human force can extract from us
that's right.
or leverage us to give up because it would be destroyed in the process. And the best example of an imperfect obligation, which is the highest obligation, is love.
There you go.
There is no law court that can enforce
exactly right.
that you must love your neighbor,
exactly right.
that you must love your brother.
Right.
And so when
that's
these
right.
conflicts are going, these disputes are
yes.
happening, they are really a symptom of the fact that one or both parties didn't love one another.
That's right.
You're insisting on your rights. Well, why aren't you looking to bless?
Very good.
And the law can't make you do that.
Very good.
That's what's so tremendous about the gospel.
Yes.
The law cannot enforce the gospel.
That's exactly
and so
right.
Paul's trying to show people that, hey, if you're taking your brother to court, okay, maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe that's what you have to do to protect life.
Sure.
But you're missing the love.
Very good.
You're missing the redemption.
Very good.
You're missing the grace. That
that's
should
right.
be the basis of your relationship. So be aware of that.
Yep.
And then keep that in mind as you deal with the situation.
Beautiful. I think we're going to close on that note because that's exactly what you need to be thinking about. Because that's why I say, you know, you've got to take this thing into perspective. What's going on here? What's Paul really about? It's not about rights. It's about relationship. Your relationship with the Lord and the impact of that relationship as it deals within the church body. And law cannot force that. That has to come out from the inside. So pick it up again. We'll start with the second verse.
Let's don't get ahead of ourselves.
We're not finished that first verse. We'll deal with that, okay? But hang in there and... just whetting the appetite, that's all. Okay, all right, let's close our eyes in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you so much. We just appreciate our time here together and the challenges that you continually put before us. Thank you, Father, for causing and stirring within us the fundamental issues. Lord, we suddenly realize more and more how legalistically we are inclined and how deeply our pride issues are rooted in us, and the fact that, Lord, We want to hang on to our rights, but Lord, help us to realize what it really means to belong to you, that we've given you our rights. And that gracious God, you have a wonderful plan for our lives, but you want to use us, and you can't use us if we don't deny ourselves and willing to take up your cross.
Amen.
And so, Father, I just pray that you reinforce these things in our minds, because Lord, we realize that we're not conformed to this world; we're transformed by the renewal of our mind. So, Lord, help us to deal with these kind of things, and from your wisdom, from your perspective. Thank you, Father. Praise you for these men and things that you are teaching them through your Spirit, and we pray that we may not only be knowers of the word, Lord, but we are also will be the doers. Thank you. Go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man. Listen, would you help me a minute here? We have a funeral at 11 o'clock, and if you guys could take these tables and roll them back in that far corner over there, that would really help. Just leave the chairs. Yeah, we've got to clean things up here. Just leave the chairs where they are. Put them in a row. Whatever you want to do, that's fine. But really, that would really be helpful. Here comes Kevin to threaten us all tomorrow.
Anything?